you're teaching a course on American material culture. Is that a subdiscipline in history?
Material culture, I would say, over the last 20 years, is something that traditionally trained historians like myself, who went to graduate school, began to use such things as architecture, home furnishings, gravestones, the kind of discoveries and materials that archaeologists work with, to try to broaden the study of social and cultural history, particularly in those areas where documentary evidence is less available, say looking at the colonies in Virginia and Maryland in the 1600s. They do not have the wealth of records that one has in New England. So as a result, they have about 300 archaeological sites that have been excavated from the 1600s. I would be hard-pressed maybe to come up with 20 for New England. I mean, they've just put their efforts in other areas, and that historians, again, like myself, more traditionally trained, have begun to use this material as well. So the course on material culture of American homes essentially looks at American domestic architecture from around the 1630s to the 1960s, looking at the layout of homes, the architectural styles of houses, the use of homes, how people lived in homes, as insights into social and cultural history. We also look at home furnishings, furniture, and ceramics, what is often called decorative arts. The field of material culture draws not only upon archaeology, but anthropology and folklore, but also aspects of what are traditionally the discipline of art history. So that's why this course. Oh, yes. I've taught versions of this course since I came here 20 years ago, and have always made use of the holdings at the Meet. We'll go over there and begin the course in part by looking at some pieces of furniture that they own, just to get students comfortable with analyzing a piece of furniture like they would a document. I mean, what kind of questions do you ask? What kind of things can you learn from it? What kinds of subsidiary evidence and sources can help you interpret that? And one of the papers they have to write is to pick an object, an artifact, and interpret it. And the other paper focuses more on a house. But we also go to historic Deerfield, as well as using the Mead. We will definitely go to the Dickinson Museum and see the evergreens and the homestead. We'll also go down to the Harriet Beecher Stowe and Mark Twain House in Hartford, which is a couple of great Victorian houses, but also Harriet Beecher Stowe with her sister Catherine Beecher wrote very popular manuals on housekeeping and homemaking. One of the books we read is a look at household technology. It's entitled More Work for Mother, and it has the counterintuitive argument that as more machines came into the household, there was actually more work for women to do, because the machines often reduce the work for men. Just to give you an example, the wood chopping was usually done by boys and, you know, adult males, but when you start using iron cook stoves with coal, guess who doesn't get to do something? You know, but it becomes the wife's responsibility to keep this monster of a cook stove clean. Also, there is the growing expectation that meals are no longer one pot. You know, you got all those different essentially ranges on top of the stove, you're going to cook the sort of meal of, you know, sort of meat, potato, vegetable kind of thing. Not all swimming together, but, you know, in these separate things. That's more work.
Do you have like an operating hypothesis or theory or observations in terms of how households were constructed or designed when you start the course to finishing up? Or are there certain threads that are just always...
There are some things that go throughout, because you are talking about human beings and space. And if there is one constant, it's human scale hasn't changed a lot. But if you look at things like human reaction to hot, cold, light, dark, crowding as opposed to privacy, these things change dramatically over time. One of the things where the course begins is the idea of the growing role of just things in people's lives. Life for most people below the elite was pretty primitive, even in some fairly advanced countries like England at the time of the settlement of the Americas. In the period before the American Civil War, you really do have, and again, the Beecher sisters were very much in the forefront of this, the idea of house as home, as a place of not just shelter, but really as a cultural and social center in which important shaping of a society takes place through the education of children. You know, the Beechers would talk about the morality of furnishings. I assure you, no one in the 1630s talked about the moral influence of furnishings. They might criticize excess, but the fact that, you know, chairs, sofas can have a moral influence, that's an idea wrapped up in the 19th century with attitudes towards women and children and the growing availability of upholstered furniture and carpets and changes in attitudes towards house planning, changes in attitudes towards work. It's a way of getting students to think not just in terms of words, but also in terms of images and structures about historical change, ideological, technological, social, and how they interact and things of that sort.